The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
It's 9:07 and a half. Here in North Texas, Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis, and the rest of the show is yours at 866-660-5759. Hey, listen, you can always count on the New York Times. What would we do without the New York Times? Headline on an editorial piece on the editorial page this morning, "Nothing is going to stop the NRA's gun orgy in Texas," by Michelle Cottle. Let me read you this one paragraph. In the wake of Tuesday's mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, how are Republican leaders rising to meet this raw moment with 19 children dead and a community shattered? They are once again leaning into their role as the American Carnage Party, where the only solution to shootings is more guns. And in a sign that it is never too soon to glorify guns after a slaughter, some are gathering at the altar of the gun lobby in, of all places, Houston, less than 300 miles from the slaughter, to wallow in that orgy of gun fetishism known as the National Rifle Association's annual convention. Well, Ms. Cottle, let me just throw one little thing at you. If the NRA exists to promote legal and safe gun ownership, and if restrictions on legal gun ownership made the world safer, Chicago would be the safest city in the world, and it is anything but. I mean, the disconnect, the liberal misunderstanding of the Second Amendment and the right of American law-abiding citizens to own weapons for their own self-defense. The misunderstanding of that is off the charts. As if laws are going to solve things like what happened in Uvalde, because they're not. It was already illegal to go shoot up a school, Ms. Cottle, and this idiot went and did it anyway. So you're not going to get anywhere passing more laws, and you're certainly not going to make the country safer or anything safer by restricting the rights of law-abiding citizens. So you write your editorial, and you and the New York Times and all of your liberal friends on the Upper West Side, you have a great time bashing Texas. It's not how it really works. 866-660-5759. We're going back to the phones. We're in Waco, and it's Mary next on the Mark Davis Show. Mary, welcome. Hello, Mary. Mary, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to come back to you. I hope you're there when we come back. Where's the hold button? There we are. Back to the phones we go. Linda, you're next. Linda, you're in Dallas, and you're up on the Mark Davis Show.
Yes, sir, Paul. The first thing I'd like to say is your opening monologue speech, whatever it was just spot on this morning.
Thank you.
You use words very well, and you got a real knack for stepping right down to the cause.
What's nice of you to say? Thank you.
Well, I've noticed it before. One of the nicest and kindest things sometimes that you can get a person is to pronounce his name correctly, or hers. And what you've done, City of Uvalde, is when you started out this morning, you pronounced the town's name correctly. And I think that should be a comforting thing. It probably is. I know most people just pronounce things the way other people pronounce them, but you don't do that. If you really want to know how to pronounce the town of Uvalde, call Chamber of Commerce in Uvalde.
Well, ask a, yes, I say, ask a Uvaldean, because they probably know.
One of those. I was fortunate to hear. I mean, I've known how to pronounce it all my life. I'm a native Texan, but the mayor of Uvalde came on the radio right after this tragedy happened.
Yeah.
And he kind of knows. I mean, he's the mayor of the town. He kind of knows how to say Uvalde.
Hey, Linda, listen, I appreciate your call, but I'm going to cut you short. Your phone, our connection is just a little bit hard to understand, but I appreciate
it. Okay. I'm done anyway.
All right. Well, I appreciate your kind words. Appreciate you listening. You have a good weekend. Make it safe here on the holiday weekend. That does free up a line, though, 866-660-5759. And we have Mary now booted back up. Mary's in Waco. Mary, you're up. Here we go.
Well, first of all, let me just say I'm a 20-year-plus retired elementary teacher.
Let me clarify that. 20 years since you retired, or you taught for 20 years?
No, I taught for 32. I've been retired for a little bit over 20.
Okay.
Okay.
What did you teach?
Elementary grade, several different grades.
Okay.
Okay. But I'll tell you in a nutshell, I don't recommend anybody become a teacher anymore. Because most of your teachers are very, they love their kids. They wouldn't be there if they weren't, because there's not enough money in it and there's too much other problems. The problem nowadays is that when I taught school, it was the parents and the teacher working together against the child, if you want to put it that way.
No, absolutely it was against the child, because I was that child. And I was, there was no way I was going to win.
Yeah, well, that's the way we looked at it back then. But nowadays, it's the child and the parents against the teacher. The teachers don't have any support. It's not that they don't want to teach. It's not that they don't care. It's not that they don't believe in our country and everything else. It's that they have too many people that are just looking for a way to get them. They have to be on guard all the time. And for God, I never have ever understood this. But parents seem to think their children won't lie. they will. But for some reason or another,
sure
parents
will.
Think their kids won't lie. And if a kid sees a chance to gig a teacher, he will. And it's a pitiful situation, because you've got lots of people out there that want to help educate children, but they just don't have the support. And it's more that than it is that the schools are bad. It's that the people who have children in the schools don't support their teachers.
Well, then Mary, you're kind of dovetailing into what I led the show off with this morning, because I know, just observing parents of my own peer group of the same time I had kids coming up through school, to a much greater extent than when I was a kid. Parents are, shoveling the kid into school and say, you handle it. And then,
and then
if something goes wrong, they'll jump in and second guess everything that happened. That didn't happen when I was in school. It was much more of a collaborative process. My parents were very actively involved in my schooling, and the presumption of guilt was on me in any sort of a dispute. I mean, the teacher was right. I started from the belief that the parents were going to side with the teacher. Now, to my parents' credit, a couple of times teacher was out of line and they did the right thing, but the vast majority of the time it was my teacher and my parents looking at me saying, this is how it's going to be, son. Did we lose you, Mary? Well, I'm sorry we lost Mary, because Mary was adding something to the conversation, but that does free up a line at 866-660-5759. In Dallas, Jeff, you're next on the Mark Davis Show.
Hey, yeah, so, it's a topic that everybody's all over right now, and I have a really big problem with all the liberals and the conservatives who are screaming out. You see these parents come on TV, grandparents, we just need to take the guns away, take the guns away, take the guns away. We need, and all these reporters, all these liberal reporters, same thing. Some of the conservative reporters, we need to stop the conversation right there. And we need to just say, listen, guys, hey, that's really a fun idea. if we took away the estimated 300 million guns from every American, some of my friends own 30 guns each. If you took them all away today and next week and you got it done in a month, there would be guns on the street in 3 weeks. It's not a solution. It's not even plausible. It's too easy to make a gun. So getting rid of the guns is not the solution. But Israel, in the schools, solved this problem a long time ago. They have way better and more aggressive terrorist threats than we ever thought about having here in the United States, and they stopped it easily. They posted one guard with a gun at the entrance to every school, one entrance, one entrance, one exit in all the K-12 schools. There's zero school shootings in Israel, period.
Yeah, okay, and I agree with you to this extent. Israel is a much more homogenous society than ours is. And truly, if you know anything about Israel, if you know anything about Israel, it's, you know, they don't enjoy the same level of freedom that we enjoy here.
Okay,
I mean, it's much more restrictive in Israel because, and kind of by necessity, because Israel is, you know, the security situation in Israel is not what we have here. So there's this constant trade-off between security and freedom, safety and freedom, and you can be absolutely safe, but you will be absolutely unfree. You can be absolutely free, and you'll be vulnerable. Finding that balance is really, really hard. But
posting a guard at the entrance to a school is not inhibiting anybody's freedom.
No, I agree with you. Except that, you know,
the solution is not taking away guns.
We're absolutely on the same page on that. You know, restricting gun ownership is not going to solve the problem at all. Passing another gun law is not going to solve the problem at all. Disarming law-abiding citizens is not going to solve the problem. Disarming law-abiding citizens will probably exacerbate the problem. And I'm just going to say to this Michelle Cottle, who wrote this idiotic piece in the New York Times this morning, if restricting the legal and safe ownership of guns, if taking guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens and restricting gun ownership made society more safe, then Chicago would be the safest city in the world because it is harder to own and carry a gun in Chicago than just about any other city in the country. And yet Chicago is a charnel house of gun violence. We lost that caller as well. People dropping off. Was the cell system just not working this morning? 866-660-5759. Mike in Waxahachie. Way well, in here on the Mark system, Davis Show.
How you doing? The cell system, it might be, maybe it's big solar flares or something.
Who knows? Well, let's hope we get through your call, Mike. Take us down the path.
I was calling to voice my displeasure at what I was hearing yesterday about, you know, the police taking an hour to get into the school. But your call screen, that might not be so.
Well, yeah, listen, it's early days here, Mike, and there's a lot of conflicting information, and it may not be. That story started coming to light yesterday, and initial reports sounded awfully bad, but let's don't rush to pass judgment here. Let's wait for all the facts to come in. The only thing I would say about the delay is there's always going to be a delay in law enforcement response, always. You know, the old cliche, when seconds count, the police are just minutes away. So,
well,
in light of
even,
that,
even if it,
in, well, in light of that, you know, is it a good idea or a bad idea to encourage or at least allow the faculty and the staff to be trained and to volunteer to be a first line of defense on school campuses?
I think it's a great idea.
I do too, but boy, there's a lot of people who don't.
Well, there's want to take our guns away too. You know, look what Beto did at the press conference.
Yeah, well, Beto's an idiot. But, I mean, you know,
yeah,
I got to tell you what,
his pretty disgusting.
His 15 minutes were up in the election against Ted Cruz. He lost. He's been making a fool of himself ever since. I don't know what he was thinking yesterday. Was it yesterday? I've lost track of time. Yeah, it was Wednesday. Thursday. With this week. I don't know what he was thinking, but I think Beto O'Rourke is an idiot. Lord forbid he ever be the governor of anything.
Let's hope he's not the governor of Texas.
I don't think he will be. I think he may have, I think he may have widened the gap between him and Governor Abbott. Listen, before I let you go, bonus question. What are your travel plans for the summer? Are they affected by the cost of gasoline and airfare, or are they affected by your free to go do what you want for the first time since 2019? And there that call went away. Boy, it's just one of those kind of, that call went. We're just right in mid-sentence, and there he goes. I tell you what, we got through most of his call. If you're online, if you're on the line waiting to get on the air, we're going to get you on the air, 866-660-5759. More of the Mark Davis Show coming up here after the break. Stay with us. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis and hoping you will follow my weekly column at YouTellMeTexas.com. But right now, taking your calls at 866-660-5759. Jeffrey in Fort Worth, you're next on the Mark Davis Show.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Just a comment. How much you want to bet the security protocols in place at today's NRA convention will be 100% effective?
No,
proving any argument about disarmament being a totally, feasible thing.
Let me tell you something, Jeffrey. I am not a member of the NRA, and I'm not really into guns. It's not my deal. But, boy, I am a big defender of the Second Amendment, and I actually am informed as to what the NRA is and what it does. The NRA exists for two primary purposes, to promote and defend the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and to promote the responsible and safe ownership of firearms. That's why the NRA exists. Nice liberal women that write for the New York Times have this picture of the NRA being an organization that creates foaming at the mouth predators out with guns. That is not what the NRA does. It's not why it exists. And you will have to show me, because I don't know that it's ever happened, that a member of the NRA has ever gone on a wanton killing spree ever.
Nice diversion. My comment was about the security protocols at the convention today.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm sure the security protocols will be quite good.
Do you know what they are?
I don't know what they are. No, I'm not going to the convention.
What I know about it is no guns are allowed. Period. End of protocol.
Okay, I don't know, Jeff. I don't know whether you're right or wrong. We'll look into that. But it sounds to me
like,
okay, good for you. You know, I again, so you say, we will check you out on that.
And how about the first five words of that amendment number two?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember a well-regulated militia being, I forget the word.
A well-regulated militia. Five
yeah,
words.
Okay. So let me, Jeffrey, you know what I want to do? Jeffrey, do me a favor.
It would seem that there's no regulation at all.
Jeffrey, do me a favor. Hold on a minute. I want to keep you after the news at the bottom of the hour, okay? Because let's have this debate. I've got to take this break, but let's have this debate, okay? Can you hang around?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold, and we want to talk to you. Let's just have this argument. All right. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. More of Jeffrey coming up after the break. Stay with us. It's 9:37. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 660 AM, The Answer. We're going to pick up where we left off with Jeffrey in Fort Worth. Jeffrey, you started your call with the point, tell us again what you said about the NRA convention in Houston.
I heard, saw, witnessed on the network news that since Trump was going to be there, that the Secret Service required certain things, and one of those was no guns.
Let me read from the website of the NRA. I just looked it up. Firearms policy for the NRA annual meetings and exhibits. During the 151st NRA annual meetings and exhibits, personal firearms may be carried in the George R. Brown Convention Center in accordance with Texas law. When carrying your firearm, always adhere to all federal, state, and local laws.
Okay.
There it is.
That's for the attendees.
Correct.
Okay. But so what I was, witnessed or heard is not true?
It's not factual.
Well, I mean,
Jeffrey,
so,
it's just, it, so, you know, what so you heard, Trump and Lord knows the network news has never been wrong, right?
I called to make a comment and ask a question. You've answered one of them, but aren't there special protocols in place from the Secret Service?
Probably.
That supersede state regulations and normal rules.
Probably. So that's not what you said before the break, but okay, fine. Let's say you're right.
Because of Mr. Trump.
Okay.
Normally, yes. I'm not a gun person either. I just, like I said, I thought for myself, well, you know, there's certain things that can be done that are just a matter of practicality. If you don't want to get shot, you don't get in front of a gun. And it may sound stupid, but it's that simple.
Okay, let me just see if I can follow where your logic leads us. So by that logic, that we should take away guns, is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not saying anything of the sort. It's like, okay, there are certain places where guns just really are not acceptable, period. Certain places at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is in the presence of the president and his cabinet, I believe. I don't think the Secret Service allows anybody that comes into contact or close to be packing an iron.
I'm sure. No, I can tell you 100% that's true, Jeffrey. I've been in the room with multiple presidents. Right. I can tell you that's true.
Okay. Well, so that's true and it's effective.
Okay, so then what point are you trying to make, Jeffrey?
Well, that people are so upset about not having their gun, and this
we're not talking about certain very tightly defined situations where you can't have a gun. What we're talking about is on the left in America, the left wants to make gun ownership illegal. They want to confiscate guns.
Okay.
And you're never going to get that done.
I've never heard anybody say that.
Oh, well then, Jeffrey, I thought you listened to the network news.
Except for your people, this Salem and whoever.
Oh, geez.
I've never heard a
Beto
Democratic
O'Rourke. Beto O'Rourke campaigned on confiscating guns. Did you miss that?
And what office does he hold?
None, but that's what he wants.
Okay, well, then he's just another guy talking then.
Yeah, but if he were to be elected, that's what he wants. That is the argument here, Jeffrey.
Yeah, it is. Well, my comment was strictly the common observation that if you don't have a gun, you can't shoot someone, period. That this insistence that shootings have nothing to do with guns.
Nobody
just,
said that. No, true. No, nobody said shoot. Okay, so Jeffrey. Jeffrey.
This is not a gun problem.
No, it's not.
Every single person that's ever been shot.
Jeffrey,
guns
predate public schools in America. We didn't at one time. We did not have mass shootings in public schools. Now we do. The guns were there the whole time. It's not a gun problem. It's a whole lot of problems that aren't so simply addressed by taking away guns.
It's like saying the people that die on the roadways every year in car accidents that it has nothing to do with cars.
Well, let's take away cars. That way, people won't die on the streets in cars.
That's just silly. That kind
Correct.
Of that's ridiculous. I'm just pointing out that people who are shot, it involves a gun.
People who are stabbed, it involves a knife. Those people at the Christmas market in Germany, it involves an idiot in a minivan. So, you know,
well, so someone who stabbed, you're not going to say it didn't involve a knife.
Okay, Jeffrey, I don't know. You listen, you're reaching the point here, Jeffrey, where I'm sad to say you're wasting our time. But I appreciate the fact that you called 866-660-5759. I wish I had Ed Bush's bell. Andrew in Hazlitt, you're next on the Mark Davis Show.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Hey, I think you're doing a great job covering in for Mark.
Thank you
really
for that.
I'm enjoying the show so far.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call in and say, you know, if we're going to quote the Second Amendment, how are you going to miss the four most important words? Shall not be infringed. Like, seriously, if we're going to cherry pick.
Well, okay. Yes,
honest about it.
You know, that whole thing about a well-regulated a militia, I'm producing a series, have been for the past 3 years, for a good advertiser of mine on my radio station in East Texas, KTBB, Hibbs Hallmark and Company, statewide insurance brokerage is the sponsor. It's called the Constitution Minute. And so I'm having to produce these things. I produce one every 2 weeks. So I'm reading voraciously on the Constitution. That whole thing about a well-regulated militia and the Second Amendment, the fear of the founding fathers of a strong federal government was that it would ride roughshod over the states. And
exactly.
The original intent of the Second Amendment was to give the citizens of the states the capacity to resist a powerful and malignant and malfeasant federal government.
Exactly, to stop authoritarianism.
That's exactly what the Second Amendment was designed to do.
And it's so sad that every time we have an incident where some kind of tragedy like this happens, I mean, the bodies are still warm and not even buried, and these people will go on social media and pack away to win their arguments and get their ha-ha gotcha moment, and they just dance in the blood of these kids. I mean, stuff like what Beto did with that comment, and just the visceral, like, virtual signaling when these people are morally bankrupt is really upsetting. It makes my stomach churn because it's the same argument. We go through the same hoops. We say the same lines, you know, about cars, getting cars off the road, that sort of thing. And there's no solution to it because, like Mark says, we don't have a gun problem. We have a people problem.
Correct. Correct. And we have a problem that is not going to be solved by anything passed by Congress. Chuck Schumer doesn't have the answer. You know,
and fix it legislatively.
Neither does Mitch McConnell, by the way, is the Senate minority leader. No, there's nobody in Washington has the answer. You know, the answer lies where it should lie, where it has always lied and where the only place it can be fixed, we the people.
Exactly. Treating others as you would like to be treated, honest and genuine love for one another and their families, and just, you know, not like putting it all in parenting, but just, you know, loving your family
to the extent that
you ask them if they're okay. Pay attention.
Put a lot of it on parenting because you never, these guys that perpetrate these horrible crimes, the thing last week in Buffalo, the horrible thing this week, and go back down the line on the Sandy Hook, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas in Florida, all of these things. The shooter is never from a nuclear family home. Never.
So true. Oh, true. And it's not easy being a parent, but it is easy to just ask somebody how they're doing, you know, pay attention, understand red flag stuff and really just try to help people, you know.
We'll do a whole.
That's all I got.
Well, I appreciate
it. So I got to get out of here.
Okay. Well, if you got to go, bonus question, you taking a vacation this summer?
Oh, no, sir. I'm going to be working because that time and a half is nice.
All right. Well, Andrew, listen, stack that money up and have some fun with it sometime. All right.
Thank you so much.
866-660-5759 in Dallas. Bill, you're next. No, you're not. Put that on hold. We'll go to Ron in Garland. You're next on the Mark Davis Show.
Thank you, Paul. To help you out about your constitutional deal, at the time of the writing of the Constitution, the militia was anybody capable of wielding a weapon.
Correcto.
It was the people.
Correcto. I mean, listen, there was no Department of the Army. There was no Department of Defense. The Army that fought in the American Revolutionary War were citizens who owned their own firearms.
Yes, sir. But anyway, to my point, I want to voice a personal message to Joe Biden, who is claiming to come to Uvalde.
Okay.
Mr. President, you incompetent fool, if you want to do something for the people in Uvalde, do not come down there and voice your propaganda about gun control. Donate your salary to the funerals of those poor people.
Well, irrespective of his salary, he can do it. That's his salary. Do with it as he wishes. But I guarantee. But I absolutely stand with you. Please don't come to Texas and stand on the graves of those 19 little children and use that as a way to promote your leftist propaganda. Come be the healer in chief. I promise you,
President Trump donated his salary every year, and this one time that Biden could do something. Mr. President, if you want to do something, donate your salary to these people.
Well, you know, that's fine, but I'm still say the larger point is please don't come and talk about gun control. A whole lot of the parents of those children are, I promise you, are big Second Amendment proponents. I promise you that.
If those two women teachers had had weapons, that guy would be dead.
That is true.
By their hands. Those two women were heroes. One of them was trying to help the kids out the window. The other one threw her body on the kids. You cannot tell me if they would have had a weapon and been trained to use it that they wouldn't have taken that guy out.
All right. Hey, listen, so that we can get somebody else in, I'm going to let you go, Ron. But I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
All right. That opens up a line, 866-660-5759. We're in Garland. Nicole, you're next on the Mark Davis Show.
Hi, yes. So I was hearing about Jeff there. I wanted to comment.
All right. We got about a minute. So go quick.
All right.
Go quick.
There's a study that was done of the Obama administration, and it is on there. It's got to be online somewhere still about gun ownership in the 60s. There was over 60% of gun owners, and gun violence was at the all-time low at that point. So tell me what the issue is. It's how many guns we have.
No, Nicole, you're 100% correct. We have a smaller proportion of the United States, of citizens of the United States, own guns than did in the 1960s, and yet we have many multiples of the gun violence that we had in the 1960s. It's not about guns.
Exactly.
It's about all sorts of
what's going on at home.
What's going on home and all sorts of societal failures. And we'll do a whole talk show on the failures of the Great Society, which was launched by Lyndon Johnson in 1965. Nicole, appreciate your call. You've an absolutely salient point. Thanks a lot. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. More after the break. Stay with us. Okay, to sum up kind of where we end the show here with Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis on this Friday before Memorial Day weekend. On the day that a member of the NRA, the National Rifle Association, on the day that some member of the NRA goes and commits some horrific gun crime, on the day that a holder of a concealed carry permit in Texas goes and commits some horrific gun crime, I might then on that day be willing to listen to your arguments against concealed carry and against the NRA. But until then, I don't want to hear it, because the NRA is not the problem with respect to gun crime in the United States. We've had guns in this country long before we had public schools, long before we had mass shootings. We've had guns in this country from before our founding. So on the day that some member of the NRA goes and commits a gun crime, I'll start listening. Until then, it's just more of your liberal twaddle, and I don't want to hear it. We have the problems that are revealed by what happened in Uvalde this week are so much deeper. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. See y'all next week.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.